Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I am one of your hosts, Sam Rainer. We have the old dude as well joining us, Tom Rainer.
I really appreciate the affirmation, son.
And I got to shake up the intro just a little bit. Our listeners are used to kind of the same intro, but just a reminder, I'm old.
Appalach?
Yeah, that's my hat. I'm wearing an Apalachicola hat.
I know the listeners can't see, but I see.
Yeah, no, we're all still in self-isolation, quarantine world. And, I did put pants on this morning, so I feel like I've accomplished something. I've got my hat on. I've got my Florida hat on. It's an Apalachicola hat. And in addition to the old dude and the older dude, I'm old too, Dad. So that just makes you older. We have a great guest today. I'm excited about this. He's a friend of mine. He's my worship pastor. He is the one, the only Jordan Richmond. So welcome to the show, Jordan.
Well, gentlemen, I am in deep weeds with doctors Rainer and Rainer. And Sam, may I just say how glad I am that you have put on pants today?
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's a step up for me. I've progressed, so I feel very good about myself today. And for those of you who don't know, Jordan is he's an artist. He is a songwriter. He is a worship pastor. He serves with me at West Bradenton. He's been married to Heather for 14 years. They've led worship together through all of that. They have four crazy children who I absolutely adore.
Which one of my kids are marrying your kids, by the way, Sam?
It depends on how much money you're paying me.
All right, fair enough.
And then we can make a decision. You start making bids and I'll start accepting offers. But Jordan's going to talk to us today about how do you make your worship services better right now? Some very practical things that you can do right now. But before we get into the content, we have to talk about our sponsor, and we love our sponsor, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. They exist to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. The school offers more than 40 different degree programs, including the new 37-hour Master of Arts in Church Revitalization. This is in partnership with Church Answers and Revitalize Network. We're also partnering with the Southeastern Seminary to make available for free the Church Future Indicator. Awesome tool. You got to go check it out. Learn about everything by visiting sebts.edu. Where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there. And just a note, Dad, I was talking with one of our coaching clients, and their question was, hey, I want to do church revitalization. I really want to get a seminary education in church revitalization. I want to have a good grounding. And hardly anybody offers this as an actual degree program.
No, so cool.
I was like, you know what? I do know someone that offers this. And then I said, obviously, you don't listen to the podcast. You need to listen to the podcast more. Because if you had, you would know about this. That's why you listen to it. But anyway, Southeastern Seminary, great institution. Glad to have them as a sponsor. Program.
As you transition into the interview with Jordan, let me offer the perspective as a, can't say I'm a totally objective outsider, but I don't work alongside of him. Although I did meet him before you ever met him way back when he was in Sarasota. He's kind of come full circle now. He's in Bradenton. But Jordan is one of the best. He is one of the most creative. And one thing he does that I just rarely see done as effectively as he does, he makes sure that everybody is integrated into the service. And that specifically and particularly includes the lead pastor, you. But it's not just a one-person show, or even in his case with Heather, a two-person show. He really is bringing everyone into it. So I would encourage folks to just kind of look at some of the things he does, and you'll offer some places at the end where they can check him out. But that's my two cents, and you can get into the interview.
Yeah, no, it's a great segue. Actually, you can check out Jordan on his YouTube page, J.H. Richmond. So youtube.com/J.H. Richmond, and you'll see the link in the show notes. Go and subscribe there. He's putting out some really creative things, some covers that he does, just kind of neat to see the creativity there with his whole family. But hey, Jordan, thanks for being here.
And yeah, it's my pleasure.
Want to dig into this idea of making your worship services better right now. Because I think a lot of the time when we talk about making our churches better, it feels so far off, and particularly with worship and moving a church in the direction that they need to move with worship. You know, it can feel like a daunting task, particularly if you feel like you're behind the times, particularly if maybe your church isn't where it needs to be. But we're going to give you some practical tools right now to help out. So you talk about checking in with your people personally. How does that make your worship better right now? So your first point that you sent us was you've got to check in with your people. You've got to be there for your people. How does that help worship practically? Walk us through that.
Because church is people. And I can say for myself personally during this time, this has actually been one of the more enriching, fast growth periods of time in my ministry career. And I think it's because it's so different than any other time we've ever been in. And so I feel like I'm growing in ways that I would not have grown if life was business as usual. And I think that's the case for the people that volunteer with us as well. Or if they're kind of feeling down in the dumps, as leaders, we can be encouraging them to maybe think about ways that they can be growing personally. They will only be that much better on the back end of this when we get back into a regular rhythm, if there even is a regular rhythm anymore. But there are some of the obvious things: phone calls and texts. We as a worship team, we started a weekly Zoom gathering. And as a worship team, I thought it was better to start in the Psalms. So I'll choose a Psalm. I'll read it through a couple times and then think through two or three questions. It's not so different than any other small group, but it just goes to show again that if you get a group of people together, praying with each other, talking with each other, reading scripture and discussing scripture, growth happens. It's actually pretty mind blowing.
So to kind of summarize what you're saying, you as a worship pastor have to pour into people pastorally in order to have them worship well. I think too often we approach worship changes from a technical aspect. You know, there's the story of the time that you and I added drums to a worship experience at a church that never had drums before. And, you know,
not our finest moment, Sam. And by the way, for the listeners, this is our third time working together now, so we're starting to develop a trend. But you actually taught me that there are programmic changes. What was your terminology there?
Technical changes, and then there's cultural changes.
Yeah. So the cultural change happens as we pour into people and spend time with people. And actually somebody else taught me this too. Words equal trust. The more you can talk with people, the more they trust you. And by the way, during this time, we can't talk face to face. So we're forced to do it digitally. The more you're in front of people, the more they trust you.
Well, and it's a great, just obvious thing that it's a good question. If you've got a worship team, if you have a worship pastor or somebody who leads in worship, even if they're not on staff, are they leading a group during this season? You know, you don't have choir rehearsal. And if you do have rehearsals, it's very stripped down because you have to have social distancing. So time might be well spent, even if it's a Zoom group, getting everybody together.
I'm sorry, Dr. Rainer.
Let me also throw in this. As we're recording this, we're still social distancing and we're still at home. But the possibility is that we're going to be moving away from this by the time this is released. So as we go into the second one, I really want to hear about it, because I saw what Jordan was doing during the time of the stay at home when we didn't have the in-person services. But I want to hear a little more about it. The second point, Jordan, about digging into technical areas where you need to improve. I know what I was watching was during the time where we were not having in-person services, and some of the innovations that you did there were absolutely incredible. Broaden that now, because as many churches are listening, church leaders are listening to this, they're probably moving toward in-person services. So broaden that a little bit, and let's talk about some the thing about technical areas where you need to improve, because it's about making your worship services better right now. Talk about some of those things, and maybe talk about some of the things you did do during the time of the pandemic when we were not in person.
I noticed a trend right away. All of a sudden, every worship pastor and creative director in the country became an instant expert in streaming. And so we all had to hit the ground sprinting. But here's the thing. I think a lot of the things that we're doing digitally, and Sam and I certainly talk a lot about this, we're planning to continue on even after we're inviting people back into our church. But what I saw was a lot of churches trying to recreate their Sunday morning or their weekend experience only digitally. And the very best of the best can never recreate it at 100%. Something is always lost. So we intentionally went a different path, and we chose to produce our Sunday morning experiences, not to pretend that they were live, just to release them. But that also gave us the freedom to do a couple of different things. So rather than lament the fact that we couldn't get everybody together on stage, we just asked, especially at Easter, we first started this, if some people would record a particular song at home with their families, send it in to me, and then I would just integrate that into the song. And it actually took a totally different look than what I was thinking. Originally, I was thinking kind of the virtual choir kind of thing, where you see a bunch of squares up on the screen, a bunch of different choir members, but I didn't get as much participation that way. Instead, what I got was a bunch of parents and their kids kind of having a worship party at home, some of them in their PJs. Sam put on a suit and tie and did I'm not sure what the type of dance you were doing was. It was
a very specific dance.
It was Davidic, really.
Kind of obscure. It's called the Rainer dance.
The Rainer dance is pretty fantastic.
And only a handful of people know how to do it.
That's so good.
Well, I tell you what, you know, if you want to see the Rainer dance, you will have to go visit our YouTube page and watch our Easter service. But everybody kind of did their own thing, and it was really wonderful. And another point in all this is that life is harder right now than it was 2 months ago for a lot of people, for all of us in some ways. And so providing something with a bit of lift and levity, a lot of times when we're in church production mode, everything kind of feels heavy and hyper spiritual. And just having a little bit of, hey, we're humans and we're all in this, add a little bit of fun, that goes a long way.
Would you say are some of the technical issues that most churches face? So, you know, for our listeners of the church of 100, 200, 300 people, what technical problem do you see rises to the top of the list, and what can somebody do right now to help with that?
First of all, I'm speaking to the creatives. Typically, in any church, there's going to be one person that's in charge of the creative department. It might be the worship pastor, it might be the creative director. Their lives are crazy right now. They are ultimately in charge of having a vision in their mind of what this worship experience looks like at the end. And then you have to reverse engineer. It's like when we were playing with Legos as kids, you have to think about what your end goal is. And video and audio, to get very practical. So on the video side, a couple things. Lighting. If your lighting is poor, most of what we record is with my iPhone. But we spend a lot of time getting our lighting set up correctly. So you need two light sources. You need a key light kind of in front, just off to the side a little bit. You need a backlight to kind of add some separation from the background. Do a YouTube tutorial on how to light a subject. There's a million YouTube tutorials out there. And a very average camera can make a set look really wonderful. Any area can look a whole lot better with just some cheap lights from Amazon.
And I think that's revolutionary for some of our listeners. They would think that you need to go buy the fanciest camera, but it's not.
It's nah, the best, the yeah, the best camera is the things. One with you. That's right. Yeah. Now, as far as audio, here's the thing. I'm more of an audio guy than I am a video guy. So I spend more time and attention on it. It's helpful for us as well. We've got a young intern that's a film student, as well as he's studying for ministry. So we can actually approach this as a team, and he can be focused on making sure the video side is looking good. Although ultimately I'm overseeing it, and I can be focused more on the audio side. So very simply, for audio, get a good clean source. Wherever your mic is, have it close to the source, and have that. You can get Pro Tools. I believe it's called Pro Tools Free, Pro Tools Lite. You can get it for free. So there's the tools are out there, and many of them are free. Or if you don't have them, they're relatively inexpensive. But a clean audio source, mixed well, good lighting. Yeah.
So very basic. Good lighting. Very basic. Spend some money on lighting equipment if you're going to spend money, and make sure that as you're recording, you're close to whatever microphone source you're using.
And let's get these. I want to make sure we get these last two in, since we only have 4 or 5 minutes left to, because I want to hear from him about the think intimate, not big, and go shorter, not longer.
So when you say think intimate, not big, what do you mean by that, Jordan?
People aren't in our big rooms right now. Instead, we are in their living room. I mean, that's so obvious, but many of the things that we do in the big room and trying to make everything feel better is kind of off-putting when you're watching it online. Oh, and by the way, all of us who are observing all this content on social media, we're lazy viewers. So we tune out after just a couple of minutes if it doesn't grab us. So the thousands of views that your video might have, it might not legitimately be thousands of views. It might just be a few seconds. So you really have to be engaging right away. And so when I say think intimate, I'm just thinking camera sources are close. The way that you do the music might just be a vocal and a guitar. That's what we're doing 80% of the time. And it's okay. And for you, Sam, when we record you, we don't have you on stage. Now, part of that is because we have a reflective room and I don't want reverb. So we put you up in the studio, simple wood backdrop, and the camera's right there, right up on you. So your face, your person is occupying the vast majority of that camera shot. We also invested very little into a teleprompter that uses an iPad. And that way, not to say that you wouldn't be on point if you were in a live preaching scenario, but it's different. And so you're looking at the camera, you're reading from the teleprompter, and from the person who's at home, it's like, oh, Sam is having a conversation with me, and it's inviting.
So just for those of you who are following, check in with your people personally. Get the right equipment, dig into some technical areas where you need to improve. Think intimate, not big. This last point, Jordan, I think is important, particularly when you're talking about digital content. You say go shorter, not longer. Explain that.
Well, as I just mentioned, people are tuning out very fast. I mean, just think about how quickly you scroll through your Facebook feed. So what's amazing to me is that some churches I'm acquainted with who typically had services of an hour have somehow managed to make those services an hour and a half during a pandemic. And for the life of me, I don't understand how they're doing that. We took the total opposite approach. I think we might have had one weekend service that was over 30 minutes in the last 6-7 weeks. And we do that, again, you being on teleprompter, you being on point. I don't do four songs. I do a song and a half. And that and a half is always a hymn. So we always have something that is recognizable to anybody that's grown up in church, but that also lets us get away with taking some risks. And by the way, if you're not taking creative risks right now, what are you doing? We've done some really off-the-wall weird things, and I think we've gotten exactly zero complaints because everybody's at home on the internet and they're just glad to be able to connect in whatever way we can. So, but anyway, if you're going to be shorter, you also, that gives us the luxury of putting a little bit more care and attention into being creative. So like what we did with the Easter video and incorporating other families, because we live in a digital world, I was able to get my buddy up in Queens, New York, who's just a couple of blocks away from Elmhurst Hospital, to participate in a song with us. That was incredible. This week, by the time this podcast airs, it will have already been on, but we just happened to have a hip hop producer in our church, and he did spoken word with one of our songs. I brought in a guy that's just a shredding electric guitarist. So we can be eclectic. We can be creative.
So what you're saying is this, what you're saying is this Sunday is rap metal.
Rap metal. And that's because that's your favorite genre of music.
Well, I'll listen to it. It's not my favorite, but it's up there.
Oh, maybe I misunderstood you in staff meeting.
Well, thank you, Jordan, for joining us. And for those of you who are just kind of curious as to what he puts out, go check out his YouTube channel, JH Richmond, youtube.com/JH Richmond. You'll see it in the show notes as well. You just see some of the content that he's producing. Dad.
Yeah. Just as a reminder to our listeners, Jordan and Sam primarily have been speaking of time where you're not in the in-person services and how to make these technical adjustments, checking in with people personally, but there's application. So by the time you listen to this, many of you may be in a different stage. In fact, we're already beginning to hear some churches, even if we're recording this, beginning to move forward. So just to let you know, so much of what they're saying right here, and maybe even the go shorter, not longer, is once you have the in-person services, that there's a lot that can be applied. So if you're already past the time where you're not allowed to have in-person services, take some of this information and apply it to your situation personally. Thank you as well, Jordan, for being here. Love what you and Heather are doing. Y'all are doing a great job, and y'all always have. But now I'm glad to see the team with Sam, Jordan, Heather, Aaron, and everybody's all back together. So glad to have you here, my friend.
It's a dream come true. It's an honor. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Once again, we thank Southeastern Seminary for being our sponsor. Let me remind you, what we need you to do, want you to do, and you want to do is to get their Church Future Indicator, an incredible download, totally free, give you an idea maybe where your church is headed for the future. As always, thank you for joining Rainer on Leadership, where we will continue to help churches get healthier together.